You know, have you ever found yourself, maybe some days you feel like, man, I'm just kind of cruising through life. And it's not that you're going backwards, but you just don't feel like you're moving forward. And maybe you're trying different things, believing different things, you know, trying to do different things, but you're getting the same results. Can anybody identify with what I'm talking about? And sometimes what I've found is the majority of the time, it comes down to a 6 to 8 inch space between your ears. And if we can ever get that fixed, then everything in life will then start to line up with a new way of thinking. Now, how many people know what I'm talking about? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get your head on right. Now, smile at him and say, but I love you. Too many times, I think we just find ourselves where, I don't know, we can't seem to find a way to escape. We'll either say the thing or the things that tend to bind us, okay? We get trapped. Now listen, it can be from desires, it can be from greed, it can be habits, it can be bitterness, emotions, feelings, frustration, anger. It can be, listen to me, situational distress. Which means what's going on in my life right now? What am I dealing with today? Forget about yesterday, right now. I'm stuck in something and I can't seem to get out of where I am. And I would say if you keep living like this every day, eventually, I think we know it's going to take a toll on us. So we get stuck in a place that we don't want to be. And what happens is it begins, listen to me, strips the peace of God out of your life. And without the peace of God, then we can't seem to maintain our focus on the things of God. Why? Because everything starts to be a distraction, or watch this, even a frustration. And there's nothing more than when you're distracted and you're frustrated because you can't seem to get to the place in God that you want to be. So what do we do? There's nothing more frustrating than loving God, but you're being stuck in a place where you can't please God with the life that you're living. Now listen, we've all been there at one time or another. Can I get an amen? And since we're in church, can we just go ahead and tell the truth? Maybe some of us are there right now. So how do you break free when you're in such a place of captivity, literally where your mind is trapping your body and you just can't seem to break the mindset that's defeating you? Let me see a show of hands if I'm even slightly connecting right now. Yeah, we're dealing with this every day. So let's take a look in the scripture and let's see what scripture has to say about getting us from one place that we don't want to be to the place we know we need to be, where it's really where God wants us to be. Amen. So open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Let's go to verse 7. I'll read from the New King James Version. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, say everyone, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or the man is there among you? Is there a man among you? If his son asks for bread, you'd give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, say a lot more, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. It talks about three things here. It says, ask, seek, say it with me, ask, seek, and knock. Can you handle three things? Now notice here, because when you see ask, seek, and knock, verse 8 clearly says, for everyone. Now, it's interesting when you look in the translation here at the word everyone, It actually means everyone. I'm just drilling down to the deep place today. Man, how much simpler can it get? ABC 1, 2, 3. Ask, seek, knock for everyone. Say, everyone who asks receives. Say, everyone. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. So there's nobody excluded from this promise. Therefore, this promise is now available to everyone. Say, that means me. So now, stay with me. Let's pay attention here. Because this is the part we miss. So many times we've been taught scriptures and we focus on a scripture for a particular thing or a subject matter. Like this one's used a lot in salvation. We'll talk about it here in just a minute. But sometimes you have to read the whole verse to see what the verse is building up to. And a lot of times, many times at the end of the verse, you'll find the punchline or you'll find the main topic of that subject. And it's important you see that or you're not going to know the context in what is being said, in which context it's being said about. Okay? So when we look, if we go drill back down to the scripture, if you'll pay attention here to the summation of the verse, Jesus is setting up this entire paragraph in order to make his point at the end of it. So we're talking about asking, we're talking about seeking, we're talking about knocking. You'll receive all those things, right? But then what's this pointing to? What does it point to? Therefore. So all this is available, all this is for everyone. Why? Why are you able to do these things? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, I said, whatever you want folk to do to you, then also do to those folk. For this is the law and the prophets. See, for some reason, this verse seems to get left out of this paragraph. Yet the entire paragraph is explaining this verse. How many people? Come on, you've read this verse hundreds of times, heard it preached many times, right? Tell the truth. Did you ever notice that this verse was the primary topic of that whole scripture? No. Because we're so focused on, we get the, oh, yeah, I can ask. Oh, yeah, that's for me. And we take that, and you should. And we seek. Oh, we seek it. So we seek, we find for us, me. And then we knock, and then that door's open for who? For me. But we never ask why. We're given these promises so we can fulfill a calling. The promises are not for your personal greed. The promises of God are for kingdom agenda. And the promises are how we accomplish it. Say amen, Pastor. And so many times we're so focused on us that, listen, I'm not picking on anybody that didn't come in here to rile up your feathers, but I did come here to challenge you just a minute. Because sometimes if we can't be honest and look and evaluate ourselves in the place we are, then how are we ever going to get to the place we need to be? But you have to have a measuring stick. You have to have something to compare it to. So I'm bringing the scripture that we've seen hundreds of times, and we love the scripture. We say amen. We shout in church where they preach it. Woo! Yeah, go pastor! But we need to talk about the subject line of what is the calling. What is it for? Why are we doing these things? Are we just doing them? Or is there a purpose? Because this is going to help us to be able to do unto others the things we want them to do to us. How many of you, if you could write a list and say, okay, all your brothers and sisters will do whatever you say, how many people be writing that list? Come on, man, you'd be scratching that list out so fast. If I told you right now, seriously, you just tell me everything you want all the folks around you to do, and I'll turn it in, and they'll do that. Man, you couldn't get to that ink pad quick enough. Some of y'all be writing that on your phone, talking to it, trying to hurry up and get that list made. Well, here the Lord is telling you how to accomplish that. Ooh. I think I better preach a little bit more. We'll come back. We're not ready to discuss it yet because y'all are just giving me blank stares, right? It's called the law of reciprocation. Say reciprocation. Ask. Seek. Knock. Now let's reapply these terms in the context in which they are written, because they are framed as tools. They're there for tools in order to accomplish a goal. Do you see that? And what's the goal? The goal is in the summation of this verse, and it's how we treat others. If the summation of this verse is do unto others, then the next question should be simple. Then what do we do? Do unto others. Then what do we do? Because when I say the term do, it means taking some form of action towards something that you want to accomplish. So what action do I take to get the thing that I want to accomplish that is what God is really calling me to do by giving me his promises? If we're truly the seed of Abraham and we are blessed to be a blessing, then what should we be doing? We should be looking for ways to bless people. So every day, listen to me, we should be asking, we should be seeking, and we should be seeking the Lord to put us in the path of people who we can help and bless. Why? Because if I'm helping you and blessing you, coming around and God is helping and blessing me, do unto others as you... If I bless you, God's going to call somebody over there to bless me with my need. My need may be different, but it doesn't matter. I'll take care of you. I'm not even worried about my need because I love and trust God so much. I don't even have to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself, the Bible says. But what I will do is I will get the promise of delivered with the calling, which is I'm going to ask, what can I do for somebody else? Seek a way to find to help someone else, and then knock on the door, which I'm about to talk to you about in a minute. What door are they talking about? We're about to talk about that in a minute. And if I do that, by the very fact that I'm being obedient, I put another law in action, in motion, because I just activated it, and it's called the law of reciprocation. What goes around comes around. Do unto others, say it, as you would have them to do unto you. Knock, and the door shall be open. What are you talking about? What is knock? What? Let's just call people, folk, people, let's call them doors of opportunity. From salvation to blessings, if we knock on their doors, they'll be open to us. Listen, it's not just what we do for them, do you understand? It's more importantly, it's who we are to them and how do we treat them. Okay, you need another scripture. Okay. You're warming up to me a little bit. Okay, so we see a mirror image of the same thing. If you want to turn over to Luke 6:31. Again, I'll stay in the same version, New King James Version, so you don't think I'm trying to pull anything funny with the versions here. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Oh, that sounds like fun. Do good to those that hate you. Woo! Bless those who curse you. Aye. And pray for those who spitefully use you. My, my. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek. Mm. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks. Oh, who's fulfilling that scripture? And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. See, if somebody took your stuff and you didn't ask for it back, you might be crazy enough to believe that as fast as the devil could take it away, God could put it back.
or you couldn't outgive God. You might be one of those crazy faith people like that.
I don't know, I'm just reading the Word of God. Y'all do what you want to with it. Because how many people know that's pretty hard to do? So what I tell you, you have to read the whole verse, and why is he talking about all this? Got to be pointing at something, right? So why do we have to go through all that? Oh, the last scripture, here it is. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise. Sound familiar? There's that verse again. A little different context. But it seems like this is the heart of God, isn't it? Seems like this is the focus on what we really should be probably spending the majority of our time looking at. I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, I don't even mind telling you. That verse right there is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. It's the hardest thing. I don't have it mastered. I want to stand here so bad and said, man, got that one licked. I would be lying through my teeth. But I am working on it. Sometimes we just got to work on it. And I didn't say it was going to be easy. God never said faith was easy. It just said it works. So it may be the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm going to be telling you right now, I have been in prayer about this. This scripture today is the thing that is changing my life in the most. I've been working on this. This is not a this Sunday scripture. This is a from now on scripture for me. You make it what you want for you, but I know what this means for me. I have to master this, or I will never get to the place God wants me to be doing the thing God wants me to do and helping the people that he wants me to be. So in other words, I cannot fulfill kingdom until I get this fixed. Now, wherever you want to get with it, it's fine. I'm just sharing with you what I'm going through. Look at your neighbor and say, you can do this. Got to encourage each other in the Lord. There's that verse again. Just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise. Summation of the entire verse. How many times have you read that scripture? Heard that scripture? But you never knew it was pointed. It's always been two separate thoughts. There's this thing, and then there's also an do likewise, right? Do to men that you want them to do likewise. But again, it's that law of reciprocation. We've always been taught it's separate thoughts. So we ask, we seek, we knock for ourselves. It's for us. And the next thing is then you want to do unto others. Two completely separate thoughts. But watch this. It's not two separate thoughts. It is one explaining the other, and until you do this, you don't get that. They're both important, but the true relevancy is that doing one is what produces the other. Still with me, right? We're tracking? Okay. Now, I've broken the scripture down to show you what it's pointing to. Now you have to look at the whole chapter. What's going on in the chapter that would preclude to bring realization of revelation about the thing that we're talking about to define the point that we're discussing? Repeat that three times fast for me. I don't know that I could say it again. So what does it look like when you look at the verses surrounding in the chapter? The section before, just before, which is in Matthew 7:1, talks about not to judge others. Right before this, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the same measure you use, that's what's going to be measured to you. I've always said, if you're going to err, you better err on the side of mercy. Because if I ever need mercy, I want that coming back to me. The measuring stick that I want to be measured by is the measuring stick of mercy and grace. So therefore, I better be sowing lots of mercy and grace. Think about that the next time when it comes down to a scission, or you have to, you know, bring some kind of rebuke on someone, or you have to bring some form of punishment, something is punitive. Make sure that you've considered these thoughts. Because it may not always be you that is sitting in the seat of judgment. It may be someone else in reverse, and you're going to be the reciprocate. So I've always, matter of fact, if there's one thing you will know about me, if you know me at all, is I'm very long-suffering. Sometimes I've been criticized. Why do you continue to put up with that? Why do you take that for so long? Why do you endure it for so long? Because Christ put me here as priest and not judge. And I don't know about you. Maybe you guys are just a lot smarter than me and maybe just a lot better-hearted people. I don't know, but it took me a while. I didn't get it the first time. And I didn't get it the second time. I didn't get it the 28th time. I needed some help. I needed some time. I still don't have it fixed. Is there anybody in here that does? I want to see one, see what it looks like. Because if you stand up, I'm going to get the oil and I'm going to anoint your head for lying right here in the middle of church and pray God doesn't strike you dead. Man, we're some jacked up folks. We're not perfect, but we're being perfected. And you got to have something as a goal that's attainable that you can do in small bites and start heading in a direction to pull yourself out of the place you are, to change the mindset of where you've been so you can get to the place you need to be. And that's what all this is about. That's why we break down scripture. That's why we understand what it looks like in the verse so we can see it in its full context. So right here, God once again is talking about people. He's talking about the character and the nature of people. How to love everyone. Now that's hard. I told you before, you have to love everyone, but you don't have to like them. I love everybody, but I don't like everybody. Bishop, you don't like everybody? No. Do you? There are some mean peoples. And I put an S on that word, peoples. Woo! Some days I think I've met most of them in ministry. Y'all stop. You made me do that. Then it goes on and starts talking about, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they're ferocious wolves, but their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cast down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, say by their fruit, that's how you recognize them. Mm-hmm. We got some fruits in this church, man. Some full of fruits, man. I'm just going to pass that by. I'm just going to move on. You can't judge people, but you certainly can discern them by their fruits. But you will notice once again, he is talking about the character of human nature. And he's telling you, even when they are as the way they are, we still have to understand who they are. Why? Because if you don't know who they are, you may pull them too close and they can hurt you. So God wants you to be there for the world, and he wants you to love them, but you don't have to be bosom buddies with everybody. So he's trying to show you who you reach and who you hang out with. And those are not always the same group. There are some group you can run with, and there's some people you run toward, and there's some you run away from. But you have to know who's who. So he's not just giving a calling about going out and loving people, and because if he puts you in the wrong crowd, they'll steal everything from you all of the time. God's not going to put you in that place. So he's going to give you enough discernment to know what to do, what not to do, who to hang around, who not to hang around. So when he puts his calling, that you won't get taken advantage of. God doesn't set you up for failure. But you cannot lose the context of what is being said in the entire chapter. Like I said, for years, I came from a Baptist church, learned a lot of my good Baptist roots is how I learned a lot of my word. But I'm telling you, we focused on these scriptures so much as salvation, which is certainly they can apply to salvation. But is that really, I'm challenging you, is that really what the scriptures are telling us to look at here?
just asking some questions. Listen, I have survived over 30 years of ministry on that scripture right there. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. You know how many decisions I've had to make based on fruit? Not what's coming out of their mouth, not how pretty they look, and not how bad they look. I've just simply had to step back, separate myself, and say, what's the fruit telling me? Because that's who they really are. I hope this is helping somebody. You're going to need this tool. It's a very important tool. But again, it's the way we've been taught about these verses. But these verses seem to me to speak more about the care and the welfare of people. Amen? So I believe that's why he's dealing with us about how we treat people first. Right? We're going to be right. Don't judge them. Do unto others. And look at the fruit. Why? Because this is all about how we should treat people. And how we know who to trust and who not to. How to treat certain ones one way and treat other people another. Listen, if we can't aspire to this, if we can't master this, how can people learn to love and trust a God if the people of that God don't show the love? Again, just some questions. Hopefully you're being challenged. Hopefully you're doing some soul searching here. Thinking about, because these are the things that I'm dealing with now that I'm having. Listen, I'm just going to step away from here for a minute. I don't know about you, but the more I read and the more Lord started, I never saw that revelation. He just started teaching me this. And I'm like, whoa, that's in a whole different context than I ever saw it. And then I start dealing with it. Then you know, when you start dealing with the Word of God, I mean, you got to fix something. Because He wouldn't be showing it to you if you didn't need to change something. And then I know the change is always going to bring a good benefit to me. And so, man, I don't know about you, but I was just taking it right in the face. And I was going, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And I thought I was okay in a lot of these areas. I'm not. I'm just being honest. I started looking. I'm like, whoa, I need to back up on. I got to fix that. I was thinking this way about brother so-and-so and sister you-know-who. I need to change my thought process. This might apply to your home, may apply to your work, to the people around you, to the people that you love or the people you don't love. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Again, I didn't say it would be easy. And so, I'm going to make a statement here, because I truly believe that a lot of things in our lives that aren't happening, we're wanting stuff to happen, and it's just not happening. Why? I think it's merely because, watch this, not the things that we're doing, it's the things that we're not doing. I mean, I think the church has put a lot of emphasis on pointing out things that we do that hinder blessing, and I think we need to do that, but let's not forget the greater good here. Sometimes I don't feel we spend enough time about talking about the things that we aren't doing that hinder blessing. Y'all need an example, don't you? I can see you're looking at me. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, let's do it this way. Let's say, how many times have you ever heard yourself make this statement? Why can't they act right? Put your hand up. Go ahead. Let me just see it. Everybody in the house, your hand needs to be up. Why can't they just act right? Now, you know, I'm going to give you that answer. And I'm going to answer it with a question. You ready? Why can't you? Why can't they be kind? Why can't they just be sweet? Why can't you?
Let's make this one personal. Why can't they just get along? Why can't I? Say it. Just get it over with. Just squeeze that mess out of there. It's like a boil. Just squeeze it out. If you can't be confronted with the truth, then truth can't set you free. Doesn't say you got to know it. Know it means you receive it. You have to receive the truth or it can't set you free. Amen. It's a law of reciprocation. Now listen, once you grasp this principle, it causes you to be Christ-centered instead of self-centered. Christ-centered, because if I'm thinking about somebody else and I'm trying to think of ways to bless them and ways to help them, I'm thinking with the mind of Christ. When I'm thinking with, you know, about me and what I need and my and I and why and all of those things, then that's my mind. So it's not about my mind, it's about the mind of Christ. And it says, we have the mind of Christ. Then that Christ will be Christ-minded and it will be doing Christ-like things. And one of those things, according to him, is to do, say it, unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is this drilling down in there? Is it getting down in your kishkas? Are you getting it down in there? So it causes you to focus on the desires of others instead of desires of your own. Let's tell the truth. How many people in Luke 6:31, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you, all those, how many people just find it very hard to do? I was honest. I said it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I don't even know that I can all the way do it yet. I'm trying. But then I got scriptures like Matthew 7:13. I'll read from the NIV. That will empower me. And it's following. It says, do unto others. Following, you know, what it says, do unto others. The very next section, listen to me. After it tells you to do unto others, the very next section of scripture, it says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many will enter through it. I've been hanging around the wrong gate. I thought they were talking about salvation there. I just read the context of the scriptures. It's about how we're treating folks. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Notice it didn't say that leads to salvation. It says it leads to life, because Christ wants you to have life and to have it more abundantly. So how do you have it more abundantly? Look at your neighbor and say, you bless more people. Everything Christ teaches is about your brother or your sister or your fellow man. It's talking about what we can do and be for others. It's all Christ-centered and not self-centered. These are hard things to hear. These are hard things to do. But according to here, only a few find it. And you know why few find it? Because most of it never get the revelation I'm giving you right now. The problem with the revelation is once you have it, now you're held accountable to it. Look at your neighbor and say, I found it. Only if you find it, look back at him and say, I said I found it. So I expect everyone to be walking on the narrow gate for next week, or you're all going to hell. No, I'm just kidding. Glad that's not true. I'd be holding the banner. Doesn't that seem reasonable that would be something we would want to work on? Doesn't that seem like that should be like maybe top priority in anything else we're doing right now?
If it yields what it yields and it does what it does and it changes the way it changes you, why would we not be seeking it? If this is how you find life, and it's the hardest thing to do because it's that narrow gate, the Bible says it is, and only if you're going to find it. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the few because I want God to be proud. So I want to be one of the proud, one of the few. Yes. You can clap right there if you want to. I don't mind at all. And can I say that? You should. How many people want to be a part of the proud and the few right there? Know that, wow, I made it. I got the revelation. I worked the revelation. I received it. I let it change me. People around me start changing because they're changing. They start changing the way they treat me. Now I'm feeling different. I'm feeling better because now people are treating me better. And because they're treating me better, I'm doing more for people. And because I'm doing more for people, they're treating me better. And because I'm treating, see how it works? It's a never-ending cycle, and you keep getting more and more life added to you, then more and more people want to come to you, they're more attracted to you because you're changing, and you're not the person you used to be. Now you're the new man and not the old man. You're being sanctified. Sanctification is not a one-time event. It is a process, and you're being sanctified by the mind of Christ. He is changing you. Your thinking is being renewed. You're not the same person you were. You're not the same person you are. It's the person that you're going to be that God's most excited about. And that's what you should be getting excited about right now. Who am I going to become in Christ? Every morning when I wake up, who am I going to be today, Lord? How's it going to change? How's my life going to improve? Who am I going to be able to bless? Who am I going to be able to help? It's hard to have a bad day when you're thinking this way. See, that's the reason why we get tied to the things in our souls. Call them soul ties. These things anchor themselves to our self-centeredness. That's what they're holding on to. So if we obey the Word of God and we do what the Bible says, Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, it doesn't say he'll give you what you want. He said he'll give you godly desires. He'll give you the desire, not the thing that you desire. He will give you a godly desire, and that godly desire then will cause you to do the thing that you need to do to be who you need to be. But really, it's destruction, listen to me, right before this verse, because I'm not going to quote you a verse without telling you what's setting up the verse. So God will give you the desire, but how about the verse before that says, in 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. There it is again. Do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. It doesn't get any better than that. There it is again. Do unto others. Do good. What's good? What is good if you're supposed to do it? How about the instruction of Christ? It's about as good as it gets, right? And what is that? Say it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want to break free from all those things that are binding you, then you have to do some things that will loose you. Every day, you have doors of opportunity standing before you. People, will you knock on those doors? So that those doors of opportunity can open up for you? But you got to knock. They're not going to open up unless you do something. Will you bless them so the blessing of God can return and come back to you? Or are you just going to pass them by? Stay bound in the life that you're stuck in and that you're currently living. I'm going to close with Matthew 6:35. I'll read from the NIV. Therefore I tell you, do not worry, underline it in your Bible. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear is that. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. I like what Minister Avancini said, John Avancini said, I've never seen a bird laying out two or three worms for tomorrow. And yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. You got that concept? You see the birds out wringing their little claws? No. They're not there wringing their little three-toed feet, worrying about how they're going to eat tomorrow. So he says, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And then he starts talking. He says, then why do you worry about clothes? Then he goes down. He says, you of little faith, do not worry. And he tells you all the things not to worry about. Why? Because he says, your Father is the one who will take care of it. So why? It says, each day has enough trouble of its own. So why are you focusing on the trouble? When God already put it in the plan of your day, that when you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking, that your steps are already ordered, and wherever the trouble is, you'll move away from the trouble, and the trouble will move away from you. Will there be some? Yep. You're going to have to walk through some stuff? Yep. Are you going to have to stand in faith? Yep. How do I know? Because the scriptures wouldn't be in there preparing you if you weren't going to go through it. But the promise is there. Just stand. There's nothing else you can do. Stand. You do your part. I promise you God will do his. So it says, seek first his kingdom. Ask, seek, and knock. Then all that provision that we're so worried about, that we spend our whole life trying to attain, that most of the worries and the stress of our life are tied to in the form of soul ties, they're taken care of. So I gave you three ways. I said, how do I get rid of these binding mindsets that keeps me stuck? Because most everything in your life is tied to things that worry about these things. And these things, according to God, are the least important things, and you shouldn't be focusing on them at all. Matter of fact, he says, stop worrying. Quit worrying about how your checks are going to come. Quit worrying about how you're going to eat. Quit worrying about how you're going to feed your family. Quit worrying about how the bills are going to get paid. Don't worry. If I'll take care of a bird, I'll take care of you. I just need you, in the words of the Lord, he just needs us to go out, and he needs us to show people who God is. What does he look like? What does he sound like? What is the nature of his character? What is his heart? I want to feel this. I want to experience this. If people can't experience God through you, then you need something fixed. So I don't know about you, but right now, this is all I'm focusing on. There's a million things we can be looking at, but don't you think this kind of needs to be first? And I'm telling you, as I'm getting this fixed in my own mind, and I'm changing my focus, some of those things that I've been tied to aren't as important anymore. I was waking up 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I'm sleeping all the way to 5 now, because that's when I get up. All the way through. I'm sleeping like a dwarf. Talking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, not throwing off on dwarfs. Keep your focus here. Where's the love, everybody? Where's the love? So let me say this. Instead of always looking to receive a blessing, why don't you try instead, always trying to be a blessing to everyone else. Amen. Instead of looking for provision, don't you just become a provider? Because you're supposed to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Can you please stand to your feet across the house? That help anybody this morning? Some of y'all can't clap because you're still in shock. Now, you know, as your pastor, I'm always going to give you some homework. I don't want you to just hear a word and not know how to apply it to your life. So here's something practical, something I'm going to be doing this week myself. I've already actually kind of tried starting to do this. I want you to pick a day. Just pick any day you want. It's up to you. And I want you to say, this is going to be the day that is totally not about me. You're not going to ask for anything. You're not going to have a desire for anything. The only thing your desire is going to be for is, who can I bless and how can I help someone? One day. Think it's easy? Try it. I've already started. I failed in my first day. It happened so fast that I didn't even realize it because I was so patterned. You think you're a server, don't you? You're not. We serve out of condition. You do this and I'll do that. It's more reflexed and learned response. A servant says, I'm going to do something, but I don't expect anything in return. I don't need thank you. I don't need any accolades. I don't need any attaboys. I'm just going to do it because it's what I choose to do. And the reason I choose to do it, that's because who I am. See, sometimes you have to do some things to repattern your thinking. But you do something long enough, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, you become the thing you're doing. Good or bad. So I want to kind of get everybody in here on the same sheet of music. Let's have a symphony in here. And let's see who can outserve the other. If the greatest in the kingdom is the servant, then I want to achieve the highest marks for God. How about you? If you don't set a goal, how can you ever attain it? So how many people would be willing this week to say, I can give up a day? And it's got to be all day. From the minute you open your eyes to the minute you close your eyes and go to sleep. Some of y'all be taking NyQuil at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've had enough. What's remarkable is when you start doing it, it's kind of fun. Because you get so many nice responses in return. You see such gratitude from people. And you don't understand that it's that gratitude that feeds your soul. It's so wonderful when you see people blessed. There's something in you that also receives the blessing of seeing them blessed. How many people you like to give something because you like to see how it just affects them in such a good way? It's so exciting. You do something for somebody because you really know you made a difference, man. That's in you. It's who you are. It's in your DNA. I don't know. Let's just try it this week. Let everybody, who will commit to that? Okay. And I want to hear about all the good reports next Sunday. I want to hear all the good things that happened out of that day. Now, if you're really crazy, as most of you are, I know because I'm your pastor. Crazy in a good way. If you're just one of those crazy Christians that say, it's all or nothing, let's do it all week. Does that mean you're going to probably do everything just right? No, you're not. You'll probably miss it a couple times. I did. I'm going to get back in the saddle. This week I'm going to try it again. But there will be a time when I will have it mastered. Wouldn't that be a great thing to accomplish in your life? where you didn't worry about anything.
How do I know it's possible?
Because God told us to do it. And if he told us to do it, he wouldn't tell us to do something that's impossible. So what I want you to do right now is, it's not for me, it's more for you and God. I'm going to say a little prayer here in a minute. I want everybody to lift up their hands when we do. And what we're going to do is, you're going to give your commitment to God. Now, here's what we're going to do. Is there anybody here that's not saved? Now, people get awkward when they go, well, you know, not saved. I don't want anybody to know that I'm not saved. They already know. Everybody around you already knows. I'm not hiding anything. So why don't you get it fixed? All you got to do is ask Jesus into your heart. Say, man, let's get this fixed. I don't want to live like this anymore. One simple little prayer. We're going to pray it here in just a minute. It's not hard. But if you mean that prayer, God means business. And he'll take all of your bad and all of your awfulness and all of your wickedness, all the things you've done wrong, and he'll change it for all of your good, all of his good, excuse me. What a deal. And watch this. He said he'll remember your sins no more. He'll cast them in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. I don't know about you, but I like that deal. And it's for everyone. Ask, seek, knock. It's for everyone. So if that's you today, I would like to know if you're in here. You know, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you. Don't be ashamed to raise and say, yeah, man, I want to get saved. I want to be a Jesus guy, man. I want to be a Jesus person. It's okay to take a stand for what you believe, amen, especially in the day and age we're living. So if you're here today and you've never done that, you say, well, I've never really asked Jesus to come in my heart. I don't know. Maybe there's some people. Maybe there's nobody here today. But let's just say, if you're here, just lift your hand. Let me see. Nobody's here to embarrass you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for all those hands. I appreciate that. See how easy that is? Now, for some of you, you were serving God, but you kind of got away. We've all been there. I don't even know how it happens. You think like you're doing so good. Next thing you know, man, you're over in the ditch again. That's all right. We serve a loving, merciful God that's full of grace, full of mercy. And he invites you back to the altar anytime you want to come. So if today you say, you know, I need to get my life back. I want to get back in line with God. If that's you, let me see you. Raise your hand today, too, because thank you for the hands. They say, just honesty, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Hands all over the house. Wonderful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a little prayer. And I want you to pray along with me. It's not important that you hear me pray it. It's important that you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith. Because the Bible says once you pray and you believe and you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you're saved, healed, and restored every area of your life. Just like that. You get to make that decision. So I'm going to do exactly what I said. I'm going to pray for you. It's a great day. I want to embrace everyone. I want to encourage everyone. And I want to tell you, you have made the best choice of your life. And life is about to get better. Amen. So if you will, everybody bow your head and let's just repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me. And make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you died on a cross for my sins. Therefore, I'm a believer. So the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. You are now my Lord. And Lord, I will honor you with my life. I will do my very best to follow your holy scriptures and become a faithful servant. I believe it. Now I've confessed it. And that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, all of heaven's rejoicing right now. And for those of you that made the commitment, you may want to come down and just, you know, let the ministers know here if you have anything that needs prayed about or something like that. We always leave ministers here at the altar. We'll stay as long as you need us to stay. You know, just anything that you need special prayer for. If you just want to come down and say, man, I gave my life to the Lord, and it's good to testify about the goodness of God and what he's done for you, okay? But if If you made that decision today, I want to tell you, I honor you. Because I love people like you, because I like to be around people who are honest. I like to be around people who don't care what other people think. They're just interested about doing the things of God. You're my kind of people. And one more thing I do want to say is I know that in the back there, you know, Hunter's going to come up here. Pastor Hunter's going to come up in a minute, and he's going to close it out. But I just want to give you a special invitation. I see a lot of faces that I haven't seen. And if I haven't got to shake your hand or get to know you, please, before you leave, go into that hub. It's right before you go out the door to the right there. Just step in that room. And if you would, I would like to just come shake your hand. If for nothing else, it's just if you're here, you're important to us. And I just want to show you how grateful that we are to have you here present, okay? Love to meet you. So if you get a chance to do that after we close, that would be wonderful. And can we do one more thing before we close? Pastor Niece's, she's under the weather today. And she couldn't make it to church today, and she's squeaking, and she was trying to talk to me on the phone, and she sounded like she swallowed a bale of hay when she was trying to talk to me, that real scratchy sound. So, you know, it's like I told you, these things go through the family, and I always say they go through the family, not to the family. Just keep on going. But when things come our way, we don't deny that we're sick. We just deny it's right to be there. And then we cast it away, and then it just goes right on through, okay? So can we just pray for Pastor Nisa real quick? And Pastor Nisa, you're probably watching, so stretch your hand, just stretch your hands up, you know, like you're stretching in act of faith towards her. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke the sickness that's on my wife. Lord, I pray against that demon. I pray against that demonic spirit that's trying to attack her right now. Because, Lord, healing is the children's bread, and she's the child of God. And with your stripes, you took that healing over 2,000 years ago. And so we claim the promise now, and we put our action in faith. We are praying. You said where two agree is touching anything, including sickness, anything, that our Father in heaven would bring it to pass. So we know that when we pray in faith, believing, according to Mark 11:24, that we receive what we pray and what we ask for. So, Lord, we ask, we seek, we knock right now on behalf of Pastor Nisa. She's healed, she's whole, and she is every bit well and healed in Jesus' name by the blood of Jesus. She's well in a state of full wellness. Amen, amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord for healing her today. I know when I get home, I'm going to have a good report. Guys, thank you. I love you. We'll see you Wednesday midweek service. I'll see you Sunday. And now they're going to conclude with the announcements. God bless you.